with a Whataburger Ticket Takeout Tuesday. We'll pick a winner each Tuesday until we're out of tickets. Brought to you by The Horn and Whataburger. Proud to serve it hot and fresh, 24 hours a day.
You know, a lot of people are afraid of snakes, the dentist, and especially selling their home. Is it going to take forever? What if it just sits there in the market and doesn't sell? Chris Waters Realty has all of this handled. No sweat, no risk. With Chris Waters, your sale is guaranteed. Now, if your home doesn't sell, they'll straight up buy it. Call the only agent that I'll call on if I need to sell my home. Chris Waters outsells everyone. Ask Robert and Samantha from Pflugerville. They wanted to upgrade to a larger home to support their growing family. They went to Chris Waters and received an offer of $25,000 over their asking price in only 3 days. With Chris Waters, it's easy and stress-free. Plus, you won't be locked into a contract that you can't get out of. Again, Chris Waters is the only agent that I'll call on to sell my home. People all over Austin are calling Chris Waters right now, and so should you. Chris takes the fear out of home selling, and it's the only real estate agent that I trust. Call Chris Waters today at 512-640-4000 or online at ChristopherWaters.com. That's Waters with two T's. And don't forget to tell them Bucky sent you.
Taste the Texas at Hudson Meat Market, celebrating 50 years of quality smoked meats in Austin. Hudson Meat Market has a huge selection of meats for all your grilling needs. On the go, grab some of their fresh pepper beef jerky and famous dried sausage snack sticks. Stop by and see Thomas and the team at Hudson Meat Market. Quality smoked meats on 1800 South Congress and now in Marble Falls. HudsonMeatMarket.com, celebrating the most consistent flavor in Austin for 50 years. Hudson Meat Market, taste the Texas.
Ever wonder what ingredients are in Bud Light? Just check the packaging. We brew with hops, barley, water, and rice. Ever wonder what ingredients are in Coors Light? You can't check the packaging. You have to go to their website, download a PDF, and scroll to page 3. There it is. Coors Light brews with hop extract, barley, water, and corn syrup. Bud Light. Brewed with no corn syrup. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri. Based on information available at MillerCoors.com as of January 16, 2019.
Introducing the new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's. It comes with a new bacon double stack made with a quarter pound of fresh, never frozen beef and topped with crispy applewood smoked bacon. Plus 4 nuggets, fries, and a drink all for just $5. That's right, just $5. The new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's is everything you could ever want. Well, at least for lunch. Try Wendy's new $5 Biggie Bag today. Biggie Bag includes 4-piece nuggets, small fries, and a small drink. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Approximate weight before cooking. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
Spring into outdoor fun in a new RV from Crestview RV. New 26-foot travel trailers, just $14,995 plus TT&L. See dealer for details. Crestview RV in Georgetown, your Keystone RV headquarters. I-35 North, exit 268, or CrestviewRV.com.
Can't wait for glasses? Don't. At Eyemart Express, they have a lens lab in every store and can make your glasses in as little as 30 minutes, and over 90% of glasses are made the same day. Find your store at imartexpress.com. Imart Express, right glasses, right price, right now.
When you're running a small business like Jane, it's like you have 10 jobs.
Customer wants to speak to you, Jane. Did you apply for that loan, Jane? Jane, our inventory is looking light. Don't forget to run payroll, Jane.
It's easy to feel overwhelmed. Just ask Jane. But now, thanks to Square Payroll, there's one less thing to worry about.
I'm listening.
Square Payroll makes it easy to pay your team, no matter what kind of business you run. Simply import your team's hours or time cards, review your pay run, click submit, and your team gets paid. Better yet, use our automatic payroll option and let payroll run itself. And the best part? Square Payroll handles all your payroll taxes, withholdings, filings, and payments at no extra cost.
Payroll, Jane. Payroll. Already done, thanks to Square Payroll.
Square Payroll costs just $29 a month plus $5 per employee or contractor you pay each month. That's it. Flexible and transparent pricing with no additional fees or hidden costs. And starting today, sign up with Square Payroll and get your first 3 months of payroll free. Visit square.com/go/Austin to get your free payroll. That's square.com/go/Austin.
From the UBO Business Services Studios, you're listening to KTXX FM and HD1 BK, KTAE AM Elgin, K270CO Round Rock. Guests on the horn appear courtesy of the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina is located on Highway 360, just south of West Bank Drive.
It's hour number two of Midday with Trey and BK, coming up at 11:45. It's our version of the Blitz. We call it the Schvitz. It's your chance to have your voice heard by calling in to 447-3776. Tinder time is at 11:30. Wags, what is the headline for today?
Michigan State setting the example, or leading the example, in leadership.
All right, and in just a couple of minutes, we're talking college basketball. No, we're talking college football. College basketball is on, which totally threw me through a loop there. We are talking college football. ESPN has just released a list of the most dynamic players for each member of the top 10 and top 25 for college football in 2019. Of course, Texas is on that list. An interesting choice for who that player is for them. We'll talk about that and more. I'm Trey Elling. Brad Kellner is across from me. Adam Wagner behind the glass. Text us. The Specs text line is 337-3776. Give us a follow on Twitter as well. At Courtesy Wave, at Brad Kellner, and at Not The Fake Wags, BK.
Yeah, we will be talking some college basketball, of course, as the first game of day two begins in about 10 minutes. It's a big-time 7-10. Matchup. Big one for you, Trey. You had a better opening day than I did. I had a really bad opening day for the NCAA tournament.
You went 8-8.
I went 8-8. I'm in the fifth percentile of ESPN right now. Yo. With my bracket. But as a wise man, I think it was Socrates once said, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Socrates.
Good dude. I think he invented crate and barrel.
Bill and Ted, man.
I don't know, Bill and Ted. Sorry. They are putting together a new movie, though, Bill
yes,
and Ted.
Yes, they are.
I don't think I've seen either of the first two, so apologies for that.
I think I missed three yesterday. I missed Seton Hall.
That's it? You missed Nevada.
Nevada.
New Mexico State?
I didn't pick New Mexico State. Okay. I also missed, no, you know what? I missed ODU. I missed four.
Okay.
Because I missed Belmont as well. Those are the four misses that I had.
I mean, yesterday was a pretty easy day. I chose a lot of upsets that didn't happen. That was 8-8 yesterday, and the 10-7s killed me. You lost two Sweet 16ers yesterday. That's where I've got you beat. I lost one with New Mexico State, and damn it, they had that game against Auburn.
Yeah.
You lost two with your Belmont Bruins and your Nevada Wolfpack.
Coming up in an hour, we'll tell you some of the upset games we have picked for today, as well as some of the other games going on, some of the games that we're most interested in.
But a big game coming up at 11:15 because you have Cincinnati in your Sweet 16.
I do.
They are the 7th seed. In the South region, they will take on Iowa in about 10 minutes. I know E. Hogan has the Bearcats of Cincy in his Final Four.
Yeah, I have Cincy in an Elite Eight team.
Elite
too,
Eight?
So, yeah. It's a big game
what?
For me.
You guys, what are y'all doing? Mick Cronin? I'll tell you what, I hope Cincinnati makes a run. It would screw up my bracket, but Mick Cronin is one of the most hilarious characters to watch on the sideline. He's just one of those coaches who just gets way too into the game, and he's yelling and he's going nuts all the time. And he's bald and he's short, and it cracks me up.
Short, bald guys who are really animated?
It's like Sean Clinch, our boy Sean Clinch.
Come on, man.
Sorry, Sean. I love that guy, man.
Great dude.
He's a great dude.
We played a catch with him at Big 12 Media Days.
He's just not very tall and not very hairy. I'm stating facts. It's like calling Jim Boeheim a murderer.
Is Sean
facts.
Short?
Those things are facts.
Is Sean short?
Yeah, he's pretty short.
Man, I miss that. I must be short then.
Sorry, Clinch. I'm gonna hear it about that one.
All congratulations, right. Murderer.
Yeah, Jim Boeheim. That's what happens when you murder somebody.
My gosh, guys.
You don't win the first game of the tournament.
I don't think it was murder. I think it was involuntary manslaughter.
Potato, potato. But yeah, that's an unfortunate story, of course. And Baylor got the win. Big 12, 2-0 yesterday. All right, we'll get back into that. Sorry, I'm swaying things. March Madness has me thrown for a loop. 16 more games to talk about. But we're football guys. It's what we do. Football never sleeps on the midday program. Maybe that's why we win so many awards. Trey, we are 161 days away from Texas taking on Louisiana Tech. Never too early to start the countdown. We have a list from ESPN. The most dynamic game breaker on each top 25 team. How do you want to start this? Do you want to go Texas first, or do you just want to go in order from 1 to 10 and then point out some notable names on the rest of the list?
Yeah, let's start with Texas first.
Okay. Texas is number 7, according to this ESPN top 25 poll. The most dynamic player for the Texas Longhorns going into the 2019 season, according to ESPN, Colin Johnson. The description given by Jake Trotter, friend of the show, says, quote, while the Longhorns lost Lil Jordan Humphrey to the NFL, they bring back Johnson, who has shown he could take over games too. Johnson had 177 receiving yards in the Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma and ensures that quarterback Sam Ellinger has a legit game-breaking wideout, end quote. Do you agree with that? Do you think the most dynamic game-breaker on this Texas Longhorn roster going into 2019 is Colin Johnson?
I love Colin Johnson. I'm a big fan of Colin Johnson, his size and his abilities at the wideout position and how well he moves for a dude who's that tall. But isn't Sam Ellinger, if you're going offense, especially the most dynamic player on your team, considering that he is not only your quarterback, but he sets the tone on the ground as well because he is a dual threat, even though he's maybe not the traditional dual threat type of guy, he's fleeter of foot than most people realize, and he also sets a physical tone as well with his running style. And he throws the football pretty darn well, too.
Yeah, that's one thing that bothers me a little bit when quarterbacks aren't described as like game breakers or skill players or athletes, because that's exactly where my mind went to. I mean, Sam Ellinger is the game breaker on this team. If you're using that phrase, the guy who can go out there and win you any football game with what he does with his arm, with what he does with his legs, that's Sam Ellinger. And I agree with you 100%. I mean, Colin Johnson might be the best pro prospect on this team, definitely on the offensive side of the ball, at least right now for this Texas football team. But if we're talking game breaker, it's your quarterback, Sam Ellinger, no question.
Yeah, and this list, actually, in its description for how they're looking at these guys, they say, here's the rundown of the most dangerous players on the nation's top teams. Sam Ellinger is far and away the most dangerous player for Texas.
Yeah, the players who keep opposing defensive coordinators up at night. I would say that's Sam Ellinger trying to find a way to stop that dude. I mean, Colin Johnson does too. I don't want to take anything away from CJ. He's a hell of a receiver, and I'm pumped that he's coming back for a senior year, and I hope he balls out and is a first-round pick in next year's NFL draft. Awesome. And he's going to be very important with no LJ Humphrey in this offense in 2019. But yeah, I mean, Sam Ellinger is the guy who fits that description. I don't think it's even close. And I would, once again, no disrespect to Colin Johnson, I'd probably put Caden Stearns there, too. I mean, there's a couple of defensive players on this list.
Yeah.
Caden Stearns, that guy is a game-breaking type of player.
I may go B.J. Foster.
B.J. Foster could be there, too. Yeah. Those guys are ball hawks. Those guys make plays. Offensive coordinators kind of have to game plan around those dudes. They terrorize opposing offenses. Colin Johnson is a stud, but I don't know if he's the biggest game-breaker on this team. Maybe he will be this year. Maybe this is just a prediction based off LJ not being in this offense. Maybe they think he'll be a much larger piece for Texas in 2019. But I don't think I would go with Colin Johnson as the number one guy for this list.
The top 10 looks like this, starting with number one. No, not the Alabama Crimson Tide. It is your defending national champ, Clemson Tigers.
It's going to be weird for me, man, because every year I say Alabama's the best team in college football. Not that I'm going out on a limb most years with that prediction, but it's hard to argue that Clemson isn't number one. I mean, both teams lose a lot every year, but Clemson, with what they did to Bama in the championship game, and they've got that Trevor Lawrence kid, it seems like they have taken over as the best program right now in college football.
They're going to be really good on offense. They have some big pieces, figuratively and literally, to replace on the defensive side of the ball. But yeah, it's hard to see them not making it back into the playoff and possibly the championship game again.
Those two are there every year. Bama's been there all 5 years. There's been a college football playoff. Clemson's been there 4 out of the 5 years. I mean, go ahead and Sharpie it right now on March 22nd. No one is taking... two spots are already taken in the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. That's just a guarantee.
Their player, according to this ESPN poll or this ESPN list, is running back Travis Etienne. And I don't know if I agree with that, not because he's not a ridiculously talented running back, but because Clemson tends to not give him the ball enough. And part of that is the fact that they want the ball in Lawrence's hands to make plays. And Lawrence can run it a little bit, but especially his throwing abilities. So perhaps the answer for me is either Lawrence or Justin Ross, or maybe even T. Higgins, in terms of the most dynamic player on the team for Clemson.
Yeah, you've got a lot of quality dudes to choose from there. I mean, you obviously can make an argument for Trevor Lawrence, who's your Heisman favorite right now. With what we saw from that kid in the national championship game against that Alabama defense, he's just absurd. The guy's unbelievable. He'd be the number one pick in the draft if he was eligible to go out this year. Yeah, I mean, Etienne's really good. He's a game breaker. I'm with you. Clemson doesn't give him the ball enough. And they've got guys like Justin Ross and T. Higgins on the outside who are fast as all hell. And those guys can make big play after big play. They can blow by anybody on any defense. You've got a lot of guys to choose from on that Clemson team. I think Etienne might be their most important player. I just think they need him to be good for them to go.
Yeah.
But, man, you can make an argument for about four or five guys on that team, no doubt.
Number two is Alabama. Texas native wideout Jalen Waddle is looked at, according to the ESPN article, as their most dynamic player. And I hate to go back to the quarterback position again, but what is Tua Tagovailoa? I mean, he is a guy who can run. He is a guy who obviously throws the football very well and leads the offense. Again, dynamic players, a guy who can do everything that is asked of him in terms of throwing and also running. Tua is the obvious answer for me, but Jalen Waddle is a game breaker big time. So I also get the rationale in putting him on this list.
Yeah, there's only two quarterbacks on this entire list for the top 25. So it seems like ESPN was just trying not to go with the obvious answer, which is the quarterback for a lot of these teams. Jalen Waddle, you can't argue. I mean, how good are Alabama's wide receivers with Jerry Jeudy, with Devonta Smith, with Henry Ruggs? Those guys are insane. But Jalen Waddle is unbelievably fast. Plus, he's a returner. He's a threat in the return game as well. He is just a big play threat. Every time he's on the field, he keeps defensive coordinators up at night trying to find a way to slow that dude down. I think he's going to have a huge year in 2019, so I'm cool with that. That guy's a stud.
It's funny because the 3 through 6 picks, none of them are quarterbacks, and all of them I'm okay with. I would actually maybe have a little bit of a discrepancy with the Ohio State pick, but the number 3 team, the Oklahoma Sooners, their pick there is CeeDee Lamb. I go with CeeDee Lamb over Jalen Hurts. CeeDee Lamb is a guy who really came on strong last year, especially in the absence of Hollywood Brown, started to show why he was such a highly rated recruit coming out of the state of Texas, and he looks to take over as the number one option for Jalen Hurts in what is going to be one of 2 years. Actually, it's just a single year that he has left on his eligibility for the Sooners.
You're not going with the defensive player for Oklahoma? They're so good on that side of the ball.
I think I'm going to stay away from that side of the ball.
Yeah, it's another... I feel like we said this last year, but we'll find out how good Lincoln Riley is, because Oklahoma's losing a lot. They're losing Rodney Anderson. They're obviously losing Kyler Murray. They're losing Hollywood Brown on the outside. They're losing a couple of really, really good offensive linemen as well. But I'd probably go CeeDee Lamb. He's an incredible receiver. He's also one of the best blocking wide receivers in all of college football. That's an underrated trait to CeeDee Lamb's
good
game
call.
That he does really, really well. He's one, and also that Calcaterra kid. I mean, he's not the level of athlete that CeeDee Lamb is, and he's not as good as CeeDee Lamb, but that guy is a weapon. We found that out in the Big 12 championship game. He scored that dagger touchdown to give Oklahoma the win up at AT&T Stadium. Both of those guys are really good, but yeah, I'd probably agree with this list and with you. CeeDee Lamb would be my number one game breaker for the Sooners.
Number four team is the Georgia Bulldogs. Now here's one where I could see the argument made perhaps for Jake Fromm as a guy who is entering his third year as the starter for the Bulldogs. Doing so well at that, by the way, that a highly rated recruit just left for the number 5 team on the list.
You don't know the story, bro.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know why Justin Fields left. There's so much more to the story that you just don't know.
But
so quit judging.
Jake Fromm is not the guy, according to ESPN. That guy is running back DeAndre Swift, and I fully agree. When DeAndre Swift is healthy, that dude is maybe as good of a game breaker as exists in college football, except for a couple of guys like Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, look, the quarterback's the most important position in college football and in all levels of football, no doubt. But to be a game breaker, you have to be able to run. You have to be a dual threat type of guy. Jake Fromm's not that. He's an incredible quarterback. He's got a great arm. He's going to probably be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft whenever he decides to leave Georgia. But yes, DeAndre Swift in the long, talented line of UGA running backs. He's the next one. He is incredible. I'm trying to think if there's anybody on that defense that I would throw in over Swift. Probably not. Probably not. Swift is going to have a huge, huge year. I think he averaged like 7 yards a carry last year and is a threat as a receiver out of the backfield as well. So, yeah, I like that pick too.
Number 5, Ohio State. No, it's not Justin Fields that's their most dynamic player. It is wide receiver KJ Hill, according to ESPN. I take slight issue with this one. I might go with J.K. Dobbins over K.J. Hill, but K.J. Hill is a ridiculous talent at the wideout.
Yeah, they've got some players, man. Ohio State. Ryan Day is walking into a great situation. Also, Benjamin Victor on the other side. That wide receiver,
ooh,
you can make a case for him, too. J.K. Dobbins is a stud. That defense is really, really good with guys like Chase Young coming back. Ohio State's going to be awesome again. Obviously, the quarterback position is a question, right? We haven't seen a whole lot of Justin Fields yet, but if he does take over and start for the Buckeyes, they've got a chance. If he's really good, I mean, hell, some websites had him ranked above Trevor Lawrence, mm-hmm, as the best recruit in the country coming out of high school 2 years ago. So if he's as good as advertised, the Buckeyes are a legit college football playoff threat. And if he's as good as advertised, he'll be the best game breaker because that guy can get it done with his arm and with his legs.
Sixth-ranked team also shows us our first defensive player on this list.
It's defense still exists.
The Fighting Irish of Notre Dame and defensive end Julian Okwara. Is that how you pronounce that last name, BK? I'm not all that familiar with the returning starters for Notre Dame.
He is Okwara, I believe. Eight sacks last year. Really, really talented. The defense was what got Notre Dame to the playoff a year ago. I'd probably go with him. They lost their number one receiver on the outside. I'm trying to think who else it could be for Notre Dame. I'm curious what the Fighting Irish are going to be this year.
Dexter Williams out of eligibility. He did a good job for them once he was finally eligible to play again last year. Became a focal point of the offense. And of course, you also have Ian Book, who is coming back at the quarterback position. Not the most dynamic of guys, but he was clearly an upgrade from Brandon Wimbush.
Yeah, they have Claypool coming back. Dexter Williams is gone. He was a senior, okay. So he'll be out for them. I don't know. That's probably the right pick for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. We'll have to ask KD about that one.
Already talked about number 7, Texas. Number 8 is Florida, and their running back Kadarius Toney getting a lot of love from ESPN.
Dan Mullen, man. Dan Mullen is the game breaker for UF. And how quickly did he get that program back in the top 10? 1 year? I mean, that's where Florida belongs. It's not a hard job to be a coach at the University of Florida, but Muschamp couldn't do it, and McElwain, the shark hunter, couldn't do it. It seems like Dan Mullen already has that program on the right track right now. I don't know. I like that kid, Pirine, LaMichael Pirine, at the running back spot as well. But, the Gators are going to be good. If Felipe Franks continues to take the step at the quarterback position, then the Gators are going to be a threat, and I think that's good for college football when programs like Florida are playing at their best.
Interesting note on Toney, even though he is technically listed at running back, he had more receptions than rushes last year. He also returns punts and kickoffs and was one of the leaders in the SEC in terms of explosive plays last year with 12, so he does have that game-breaking ability. Number 9 team is the Michigan Wolverines. Wide receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones. He is a big-bodied, athletic dude and a great target for Shea Patterson.
Michigan. Are they ever going to figure it out with Jim Harbaugh?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. And this guy is constantly revered as one of the best coaches in college football. And, hell, I thought that marriage was going to work for sure. I mean, with what Harbaugh did at Stanford and going back to his alma mater and with the talent that Michigan can bring in, the facilities and the money that they've got pumping into that program. It's been a little bit of a struggle, been a little bit of a disappointment so far for Jim Harbaugh. Last year was a big year. Couldn't get it done. I mean, they had a chance to win the Big Ten, but Ohio State crushed him in the de facto Big Ten semifinal game right there. I'm curious what this Michigan team brings to the table, and they're losing a lot on defense, man. I mean, going into this year, you could probably chose 3 or 4 guys on that defense as the most dynamic player for the Wolverines. Peoples-Jones is a really talented wide receiver. They need Shea Patterson to take the next step, and they got to figure out a way to win games under Jim Harbaugh. Otherwise, I wonder how much longer they're going to stick with that dude.
Number 10 is Oregon. A couple running backs get selected for Oregon. We're going to fast forward a little bit to teams with more regional relevance. Starting with number 11, Texas A&M. They lost their 2 best pieces on offense last year, both guys who declared for the NFL draft, Sternberger, and then also running back Travion Williams as well. ESPN is saying wide receiver Kendrick Rogers is the most dynamic guy for A&M in 2019. LSU, safety Grant Delpit, that dude is ridiculously good. Totally understand why he would be considered the most dynamic guy on that roster. Scrolling down to, that looks like it's just about it in terms of Big 12 or regional teams of any sort of top 25 relevance.
Yeah, Grant Delpit's really good for LSU. That guy's going to be all over the field when the Horns and Tigers get after it in Week 2 next season.
You mentioned the 2 quarterbacks on the list, BK, and those are at the very end of the top 25. Number 24, Nebraska, quarterback Adrian Martinez. Number 25, Army, QB Kelvin Hopkins Jr.
Army in the top 25. They're coming off their best year in team history. They won 10 games. Army football.
Smoked Houston in the bowl game, too.
Took Charlie Strong like 3 years to win 10 games. There's just no need for that. Sorry. Sorry, coach. Sorry, Chuck. It's my bad. Nebraska is a team to look out for this year. Scott Frost, you know what he did in his second year at UCF, won a national title. So we'll see if Nebraska takes a big step. I know a lot of the Cornhusker fans are optimistic with him and Martinez at the quarterback spot. All right, so college football conversation. randomly right there. The most dynamic game breaker on each top 25 team, according to ESPN. If you missed it, the Texas Longhorns ranked number 7, and Colin Johnson listed as the most dynamic game breaker, according to the four-letter network. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get you a score update. We are underway from Columbus, Ohio, day 2 of the NCAA tournament. A good 7-10 matchup will give you the score. Also, our man Wags will lead us through Tinder time. On the other side, it's Midday with Trey and BK on the Horn.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK. Instead of reading off the liner cards, I'm going to take this moment to thank Desano's Pizza for bringing 5 pies into the building.
How about that? You're welcome, office.
That's what I said when I walked out there.
I haven't gotten a pizza yet. I haven't gotten a slice yet. You already ate one, and it was incredible.
Try 3.
Jeez, I haven't gotten one yet. If I go out there in this next commercial break and the pizza's gone, I am going off. On our office. We're going close to office space, burning this place down. Don't say it's pretty much gone, Wax. Don't tell me that. Will you? You guys might have to do this segment.
I told you to go grab some right now and put it to the side.
You said there's 5 pies. How many people are here? It's Friday, and our sales staff never shows up. If they eat all the pizza, I'm yelling at them. Because that pizza is because of us. If they don't give me a slice of pizza, I should be able to wait 10 minutes and still get one.
First taste.
Jeremy just grabbed 4. Our engineer who shows up once a week grabs up 4 pizzas. 4 slices. Are you kidding me?
First taste of Desano's for me.
It's not episode 420 anymore. You can't be doing that stuff. There's no excuse for that. At the office?
I see why people dig Desano so much. That's
awesome.
Some damn good pizza.
How have you never had Desano before?
Because every time I make the choice to get Neapolitan pizza and I'm in that area, I go to the place that I've been going to since we've lived here, and that's Bufalina. But Desano's clearly not a bad option.
Yeah, I will give them a shout-out. Thank you for bringing the pie, too.
Thanks, Desano's.
That's awesome, and I will vouch for them any day. And they've got great ratings on Google, too, and rightfully so. All right, quick score update for you as we are underway. Day 2 of the NCAA tournament from Columbus, Ohio. It is the 7-seed Cincinnati with an early 16-5 lead over the 10-seed Iowa. So a great start for the Bearcats, which is good for you. You have Cincinnati not only beating Iowa today, but also beating number 2 Tennessee, who plays later this afternoon against the Fighting Toothpaste of Colgate.
How is it possible to feel so terrible about an Elite Eight pick when they're up 13 points like 3 minutes into their first round game?
That's 18-5 and 1 right there for Cincinnati as we hit the under 12 timeout. Trey, people are upset when the brackets came out this past Sunday that Kansas as a 4-seed was in the Midwest region, because if KU beats Auburn tomorrow, then they will have the opportunity to play a Sweet 16 and a potential Elite Eight game in Kansas City at
the Sprint
Center.
It's pretty ridiculous.
It is a little bit ridiculous. It's a money play by the NCAA.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. The fact that a 7-seed Cincinnati gets to open up with 2 games in Columbus, that is a whole nother level of ridiculous right there. I feel bad for Iowa. And I feel really bad for Tennessee. As a 2-seed, you should be getting the benefit of the doubt when it comes to geographical placement. You should be playing a game very close to you. In Knoxville, Tennessee isn't too far from Columbus. Like, their fans can get there. But you shouldn't have to play a road game as a 2-seed in the second round. That is absurd. So Cincinnati's got a chance to not only win today, they're off to a great start against Iowa, but I don't think you're the only one who picked that second-round upset with the Bearcats knocking off Tennessee, because it's basically a home game for Cincy. It's absurd.
If the Midwest goes chalk, just imagine at how ticked Roy Williams is going to be. Roy Williams, with his history in that area, to have to face the Kansas Jayhawks at the Sprint Center.
Bring it, Roy!
In the round of 16.
Yeah, he hasn't fared too well against KU over the course of his career, but he's won titles at Carolina. He didn't do it at Kansas. Screw you, Roy. All right, man, that could be cool, though. Kentucky, Carolina, Kansas, and Iowa State in that building, potentially, in the Midwest. That would be cool. All right, so we'll keep you posted, of course. The next game's about to start because there's 16 of them today. It's Oklahoma and Ole Miss, an 8-9 matchup that begins in 5 minutes. So we'll give you scoreboard updates all day long, of course, on this show, then Rod, and then Chad and Kevin as well. But right now, without further ado, let's toss it to the other side. Our man Wax, it's Tinder time. Tinder time brought to you by Altstadt Brewery. Altstadt beer, the best beer that you can find here in Central Texas. It's Friday. The weekend has arrived, and whether you plan on hitting the town. Oh, what do you know? The weather guessers, they said it was going to rain all weekend. Now the forecast is looking pretty nice here.
Of course.
In the 512. So if you're going out, hitting the town, or if you're going to do what I do and that stay at home and watch tournament action all weekend long, you need a great beer to accompany your great times here in Central Texas. Make it Altstab beer. No impurities, no regrets.
Wags, what's the first headline in today's Tender Time?
Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo really embraced the term March Madness yesterday as he defends calling out freshman Henry.
Swipe right. We need to talk about this.
Swipe right.
Obviously, you guys are aware of the incident. During the game yesterday with Michigan State, Tom Izzo, they had the lead, actually, going, and they won 76-65 with the big win over Bradley. But there was a little bit of a heated exchange at half court between freshman Aaron Henry and head coach Tom Izzo. It actually looked like Tom Izzo was bucking up and trying to fight freshman Aaron Henry. But then some good leadership by Cassius Watt Winston stepping in and kind of separating the two. But that's just what I want to talk about here, guys. This should not be coming from a player. This should be coming, a coach should have the mental fortitude and composure to calm down his players. This should not be coming from a player here. Guys, your thoughts?
I get it, the heat of the moment.
I get it.
This is who Tom Izzo is. He's been doing this for more than two decades, and he's won a championship, and he's won more than 600 games. Like, this is just how he is as a coach. And this is how coaches should be allowed to coach. This is just soft. People who are getting upset with this.
Did he put his hands on him?
Didn't put his hands on him. He wasn't going to put his hands on him. I keep hearing that headline like he had to be held back. Held back from what? From yelling at the kid? He wasn't going to punch the kid? Come on. It'd be ridiculous here. And I know there's this new wave, this new thought where coaches don't need to yell at their players. It's just how it is. That's coaching. Some guys don't do that, and that's fine. Some guys like to do something like that. And what do you know? The kid, Aaron Henry, he responded. He was fine.
Great point. Yeah, that's just it. I responded well. A lot of Marines respond well to strong leadership. That's just where I was going with this. And I didn't see anything too wrong with this thing here. I definitely didn't see Izzo put hands on this kid.
Second time we brought this guy up today, Joe Schwartz. He tweeted this out. I don't know if this is Izzo's coach. I can't remember Izzo's coach. Izzo's quote. But this is just a famous quote from coaching. The day I stop yelling at you and coaching you hard is the day I'll stop caring about you. What do you think? Tom Izzo doesn't care about the kid? He's mad at the kid? He's going to kick him off the team? What's the big deal here? He's coaching him. People are soft, man.
I understand the concept of not yelling. There are certain coaches who mostly go by that rule. Pete Carroll is one of those guys who comes to mind. But I also understand that there are different styles of coaching, and assuming that you're not physically accosting a kid like what Bobby Knight used to do, which is well over the line, if you're yelling at a kid, a freshman at that,
it's college,
in a basketball game where you are the 2 seed and the 15 seed is keeping things unnecessarily tight, I can understand why tension would be a little bit higher and there possibly being a need to yell at a kid to get a point across.
Look, I'm not like advising peewee coaches to get in your kid's face.
No, of course not.
Like, even high school coaches, okay, maybe not. Although I'm okay with it. It's just a different cloth that I'm cut from, I suppose. But a college coach in the NCAA tournament, you're mad that he's yelling at his player? And credit McQuaid and Cassius Winston for, look, they were doing the right thing. They were stopping their coach. They're like, we got it. We'll talk to him. We'll figure it out. It's fine. But I got no problem with Tom Izzo coaching. It's what he's doing. He's not in the kid's face telling him, like, you suck. I hope you, whatever. You're not playing ever again on this team. Talk to him, put him back into the game, and what do you know? The kid responded. That's what Izzo's done for a long, long time. It hasn't been a problem for the first 22 years of Izzo's coaching career. Now all of a sudden it is because everybody saw it.
And it kind of seemed like the kid wasn't doing anything to just like say yes, sir, and soak in what was going on and move on. It kind of seemed like he kept poking Izzo after that because Izzo calmed down and they get into the huddle where they're seated. And clearly the kid says something back to Izzo that caused Izzo to snap again. And that's when the coaches and his teammates ended up grabbing
him. Michigan State was losing at that point. And you know what happened, Trey? They won.
Yeah.
It works. It's not harming or abusing the kid.
It really does feel like to me that those who are being the most critical of this, and there are exceptions. I saw you said that you saw Trinis Jones, who is the head of the Positive Coaching Alliance, being critical of Tom Izzo right there. And you know what?
Trinus Jones has every right to be, considering the mantra that he is living his life by and what the Positive Coaching Alliance does, and also the fact that he played college basketball, that he has probably seen the different methods firsthand. So I value his opinion on things, but it seems like a lot of people who are chiming in on this are people who really don't tend to watch a whole lot of sports, have not played sports, and don't understand why these things happen in the heat of the moment, and can't differentiate between a coach getting physical with somebody versus a coach yelling at somebody who needs a point to be made.
Yeah, there are plenty of people out there who didn't like it from Tom Izzo. I am just not one of them. I've seen him do it. I see coaches do this, and I just don't have any issue with it. And Tom Izzo, when asked about it, he said, you know, the media is asking him. He said, I don't know what kind of business you're in, but I'll tell you what, if I was the head of a newspaper and you didn't do your job, you'd be held accountable.
Yep.
Player wasn't doing his job. Tom Izzo was yelling at him for it. End of story. All right, Wags, give us one more, please, sir, if you've got one for us.
Cardinals Goldschmidt close to five-year, $130 million extension.
Can we swipe left on this one? We're up on the break, and I want to get to the schvitz. My apologies.
Oh, you think the people are going to want to schvitz today?
I think they are.
I just assume that they don't want to talk to us.
Maybe right about that.
No one's at work. It's the tournament. No one's getting anything done. No one's paying attention to what we're talking about.
True.
Goldie can wait.
Except for Desano Pizza. Yeah, congrats to a Texas State alum, Paul Goldschmidt.
Big stuff.
Well deserved. People have already gone for seconds. Well deserved. Just want to give you a heads up.
Well, let's go to break then. Sorry, we're taking a break right now, so I can eat some pizza. Coming up next, it is the Schvitz, 447-3776. It's the midday version of the Blitz. We only do it on Friday. Your time to shine, whatever's on your mind. Hit us up. That's next, midday with Trey and BK on the horn.
It's a shanda and a hopper, fair dust the leg and it's able to dip by the cup and thread, baruch atah Adonai.
The Schvitz.
Schvitz time. Call 447-3776. We do have a few lines available. Three callers up so far. Add your name to that list as well. The Schvitz, as always, is sponsored by Audio Visual Consultations. Tom McKay is a great dude for plenty of reasons, including the fact that he is such a big supporter of the Texas Stars. Texas Stars playing tomorrow night. I'm going to be in the Bucky Godbolt suite. You
tonight
be
too?
There
tonight
well?
And tomorrow night.
Tonight and tomorrow night. Go to TexasStars.com for tickets. I'm pretty sure you can see Tom McKay. You go to either game.
I will not be there tomorrow.
Bummer. Wags, you going to be there? No? Wow, you guys suck.
I was highly considering, but Kansas plays tomorrow night. If KU had a day game tomorrow, then I would I'd be like, all right, I can go to the Texas Stars game. That's fine. I can DVR the other tournament games, and we'll be okay.
It's going to be a TV in the suite, though.
You don't want to see me in public watching a Kansas tournament game.
But that's why I do.
Be some great Facebook Live, and I'd also be arrested. So that probably would not be great Facebook Live.
Oh, man, the lines are full now, so let's get right to it. First Schvitzer, you're up.
Hey, when coaches go into a house, a kid's house, they tell the parents, we're going to be the kid's parents while he's away from home. That's exactly what Izzo's doing. There's different coaching styles. There's different parenting styles. As long as he doesn't put his hands on the kid and the message is getting across, I think he did a good job.
Amen. Good Schvitz call.
Very good there. And Coach Chris is talking to us on the text line right now that he's coached basketball for a long time and that Izzo had his fist clenched up and that implied the desire to get more physical with the kid. I get that, but we'll maybe continue the conversation on the other side. Next, Fitzer, you're up.
Hi, guys. You know, since heard him yesterday, do y'all want to see my Fairleigh Dickinson? This is Brett Favre.
There we go. Nice Brett Favre, Fairleigh Dickinson crack there. Next, Fitzer, you're up.
It doesn't matter where the game is played. Rick Barnes will find a way to screw it up, whether it's on his home court or not.
Sal, we've been watching it for too many years now not to believe that's going to happen in some
way, shape, or form.
Forget the Final Four he went to.
First time since the 50s.
That's with one of the best point guards in the history of the sport. Next, Spitzer, you're up.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey! I just want to know what y'all think of Dripping Springs going to be renamed Pound Town.
We covered it yesterday. Go back to the podcast.
Jeez.
The March 21st podcast. We cover it at the 10:30 segment, so halfway through hour one.
Since I allow people to miss an episode, I'll say I love it. I love Pound Town.
Big fans. We're big supporters of Pound Town.
Hoping to go. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to go there this weekend. maybe a couple times if things are okay, you know?
As long as he can be considered the mayor of Poundtown when that change is officially made.
Next, Fitzer,
you're up.
I get to the chopper.
Thank you, Arnie. And that's going to be it. Person called right back. We had one more on the line, and that person dropped in the middle of the Arnie call.
Should we be nice to him and
let
him back
on? Yeah, let's get one more Schwitzer. One more Schwitzer.
No, we don't need the music going. Let's go. Fire it up.
Last Schwitzer, you're up.
Hey, I just got arrested in Williamson County. I filed a petition to change Georgetown to Glutcock Town, and they asked me to leave in handcuffs.
Hmm. Yeah, George Washington Glasscock, the founder of Georgetown, just like Dr. William Pound, the founder
it's not
of
Richard?
Dripping Springs.
Richard Pound, I thought. Sadly, Richard was the joke that we made.
Sadly, it's not Richard.
They sell Poundtown memorabilia, man. I'm telling you, there's a hat on there for like $20. I might start buying that.
It's pretty sweet looking.
All right, good Schwitz. Well done, you people out there.
Let's touch on this Tom Izzo thing real quick before the break. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but there are people who are weighing in that disagree with what Izzo did, including those who have experience in basketball. Coach Chris online says, I've yelled at plenty of guys before. What Tom Izzo did, he crossed the line. So I asked him, how did he cross the line? He said because he was talking to him with balled up fists, and psychologically speaking, that implies the possibility of you getting more physical with somebody.
Okay, psychologically it does, but did he?
He did not.
And
when he was the fists were clenched, he was also walking away from the kid as well. And yeah, he got his finger in his face and he was wagging the finger in his face. It's a little bit of an authority figure move there.
He is the authority figure. He's the coach.
He is.
I don't know. I understand. Like I'll listen to both sides of this argument, both sides of the debate, and you can make a case. All right, if you don't like this, that's fine, but I think he's coaching. And at the time, look, being a coach isn't just about winning games, right? Yeah, you got to be like a father figure. Or the Schwitzer just called. You got to develop these gentlemen as young men and as players, right? On and off the court. Michigan State was losing when that happened. And the freshman, Aaron Henry, was not playing well when that happened. What happens after that? The Spartans go on a run and they win. I just think he's doing his job, and that's not new for Tom Izzo. Like, no one had a problem with this a decade or two ago. It's just where we're at in society right now.
Right.
It's just a culture thing. Like, everybody gets their feelings hurt over something. So when you see an adult yelling at a kid, it bothers people nowadays. It's always bothered some people, but now, seemingly more than ever, it bothers people. And it's just a guy doing his job. A coach getting after a player. He didn't get physical. He didn't put his hands on the kid. I don't know. I just different cut from different cloths, I guess. I don't have any problem with it.
Yeah, we're just at that point now where seemingly basic things in terms of coaching are less acceptable now.
And look,
so
considering
the
stage,
I guess you have to be careful about it.
Considering the stage, the NCAA tournament, it was caught on camera. It's going to create some sort of debate. I don't have an issue with it. All right, quick score update before we take a break here. Cincinnati is still on top of Iowa. It's 32-22.
A couple double-digit margins here.
And Oklahoma, the Sooners off to a great start against Ole Miss in the 8-9 game in the South region. Thank you.
Winner plays Virginia.
Gardner-Webb. Oklahoma is up 24-14. Sooners off to a great start early on in that one. So we'll keep you posted with those scores. And
your cousins happenings. Got any money today?
Cousins always have money on these games, man.
What
kind of question is that?
I like Iowa State.
Is the Pope Catholic? Yeah, my cousin's got money on this game today.
For sure.
Of course, dog. My bracket is not looking good. It never is looking good at this time. But it's not how you start. It's how you finish. All right, we'll take your thoughts on all the happenings, 337-3776. We'll get back into the madness. We'll talk about some of the other games coming up today. More recap of what took place yesterday. And we'll do that next. 1 hour to go. It's Friday. Trey and BK on the horn.